34, the first seven verses of chapter 34 is an expansion of chapter 32. In the first five verses of chapter 32, he went directly to Zedekiah and he told him what was going to happen to him. And now he goes and does the same thing in a little more detail than he did in chapter 32. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army, and all the kingdoms of the earth, and his dominion, and all the people fought against Jerusalem and against the cities thereof, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Go and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of his hand, but shall surely be taken and delivered unto his hand, and thine eyes shall behold the eyes of the king of Babylon, and he shall speak unto thee mouth to mouth, and thou shalt go into Babylon. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of thee, Thou shalt not die by the sword, but thou shalt die in peace and with the burning of thy fathers, the former kings which were before thee. So shall they burn odors before thee, and they will lament thee, saying, Ah, Lord, for I have pronounced the word, saith the Lord. And so these words, well, let's read on down through 7. And Jeremiah the prophet spake all these words unto Zedekiah, king of Judah, in Jerusalem, when the king of Babylon's army fought against Jerusalem and against all the cities of Judah that were left, against Lachish and against Azekiah, and these defense cities remained of the cities of Judah. So the word was directly to Zedekiah, the king of Judah. And we read in 1 Kings 25, and I'm not going to turn to it. We've read it several times. But bring back to our remembrance is the 10th year and the 10th month and the 10th day of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. And then we read in verse 2, the year of Zedekiah's reign, which would be, anyway, there was about 3 years in the 10th day and the 10th month, 10th year of his reign. And then in the chapter 32, who read last? Alan, look up Jeremiah 52, about the first five verses. And it gives some dates there that these reign. But it took Nebuchadnezzar approximately 3 years. It was a 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. And he started, I believe, So we read that, also read that he reigned 11 years. So it took them a little over 2 years. See, 9, 10 from 11, see, would be 2 years and 2 months approximately, it took them to conquer the city. This would be the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, that all this was happened. And so he told him just exactly what was going to happen to him. Notice down in verse 3, he said that he would be taken, the city would be burned with fire, he would not escape, but he would behold the eyes of the king of Babylon, and he would speak mouth to mouth. In other words, he would be brought right into the presence of the king of Babylon. Now, what actually happened is the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, brought all of his sons. His sons were slain in his sight. Then his eyes was put out, and he was carried away to Babylon. And so this was... He did see him face to face. And then we read that he will not die by the sword. Oh, this might have been good news to Zedekiah at that time. Well, goody, I'm not going to get killed with a sword. But he was going to die anyway. But let's read what his death would be. Thou shalt die in peace. Well, everybody wants to do that. But notice what it is. With the burning of thy fathers, former kings that was before thee. Now, in all of these, they burnt incense to Baal and to other gods. Well, the same thing would happen to Zedekiah when he died, because he's going to be in a foreign land, and they would burn incense of foreign gods unto him. Well, this isn't much different, because they've been doing it to the kings all along. It's the same thing. But he would be just like this, burnt odors before thee. And then the people would relent, saying, "Oh, Lord," or "Alas, look at this ruler," is the thought that we have in there. "For I have pronounced the word, saith the Lord." And this actually took to pass when the king of Babylon came and destroyed the city, and all these things actually happened there. Verses 8 through 13. For this is the word that came to Jeremiah, the king of the Lord, after that King Zedekiah made a covenant with the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them. Now, the purpose that he did this, we really don't know. We don't understand why. Most people think he did this to try to get on the good side with God. And it did please God, as we read a little later. But there was a law in Exodus 12. You can look this up when you get home. Write it down. Exodus 12, verse 2. And also in Deuteronomy 15:12, that after a Jewish servant had served for 6 years, on the seventh year he could go free. But they hadn't been doing this. They had been holding him and making him serve longer, and in doing so they were breaking the law of liberty for these Jewish servants. Now all of a sudden, Zedekiah made a change. And he made a covenant with the people that were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them, that every man should let his maidservants and every man his manservants and maidservants, being a Hebrew, they were to go free, that none should serve himself of them, to wit, of a Jew, his brother. Now, if they borrowed money or went in debt, then they had to pay that debt if they had to serve alone. But 7 years was the maximum, and then they had to be let go free. So there was a proclamation made by the king. Now remember that the Babylonian army was all around them ready to take over. And they'd taken most of the little cities, unfenced the cities round about, and they was on the process of just moving in. So it looks to me like, as I read this, and you can correct me if you want to, but it looks to me like this was Zedekiah's last effort when everything else failed. A lot of people do that, you know. They turn, try to appease God when everything else fails. But this wasn't their only problem here. Now when the princes and all the people which had entered into the covenant heard that every one should let his manservants and his maidservants go free, and none should serve themselves of them anymore, then they obeyed and let them go. But afterward, see, it wasn't a permanent thing. They knew where they went, and so they went after them. They turned and caused the servants that they had let go to return, and brought them under subjection for servants and the maidservants. Now, this was just a farce, wasn't it? And God knew it was. And so he didn't accept it as being anything at all. It wasn't pleasing to him. Now, if they would have done this, God, to get God's help, then I think God may have helped them. But this wasn't their purpose. They're trying to pull one over on God. And notice what it says on down further in this chapter, in verse 15. And ye were now turned, and had done right in my sight, in proclaiming liberty, every man to his neighbor. And you had made a covenant before me, in the house of which is called by my name. Now this was good, see. God didn't say anything bad about this. But here was the bad thing. But you turned and polluted my name and caused every man's servant and every man his handmaiden, whom I had set at liberty, whom ye had set at liberty at their pleasure, to return and brought them into subjection to be under you for servants and handmaidens. See, if they had no intentions of doing this if it didn't work. Of course, if it worked, why, it would've been a good thing. But again, I say that God knows the heart. It was a good gesture, but it just didn't last. You can't fool God. You might think, people think they can, but they can't. Therefore, verse 17, thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty, every one his brother and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim liberty unto you, saith the Lord, to the sword and to pestilence and to famine. So he's given the sword, pestilence, famine liberty rather than the people liberty. And I will make you to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth. Now, you see, this wasn't exactly what he did at that time. He didn't do all of this until 70 AD, did he, to bring all of this. But all of this was fulfilled simply because they would not keep the law of God. So the fulfillment of God's covenant is not freedom, but pestilence. Now, if there's any freedom at all, it has to be in Christ. There is no freedom other than this. Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free. And so all the freedom that we have is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. So is it with them. And so Christ is the fulfillment of the law of liberty, and that Christ would be able to set them free. There's a verse in Luke 4:17, I believe it is. So what was Jesus' mission? To set people at liberty. All those who were bound. He did this in his life. He delivered the sick. He delivered the weak. Those that were possessed of the devil. This was an act of Christ, see, as the Messiah. And even then, he was rejected, wasn't he? With all the things that he did and set at liberty, he still was rejected. Verse 18, and I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of my covenant, which they have made before me, when they cut the calf in twain, and pass between the parts thereof. Now this is kind of hard to understand, because the only place I know that they did, that this was done, is 15th chapter of Genesis, when Abraham cut the calves in pieces and passed between them to acknowledge that his covenant was made through the blood and through the grace of God. Evidently, and I don't know this for sure, but as I read it here, it seems like they tried to mimic this. And they may have passed through the parts of the sacrifice, but it wasn't in their heart. It was only in their mind. You see, that God wants a heart sacrifice. And then we read in verse 20, and I will give them unto the land of their enemies, unto the hand of them that seek their life, and they shall, and their dead bodies shall be for a meal for the fire, fowls, and the heavens, and the beasts of the earth. And Zedekiah the king of Judah and his princes will I give to the hands of their enemies, and to the hand of them that seek their life, and unto the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which are gone up from you. Behold, I command, saith the Lord, and cause them to return to the city, and they shall fight against it, and take it, and burn it with fire, and I will make the cities of Judah a desolation without a habitat. And truly, God did all of this. See how much time left?